those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and put forth their leaves, you know that the summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I have to tell you that I faced a real block when I tried to sit down and write a sermon this morning. I thought, not another text about the end of the world, not another lesson about the need to watch and wake and keep awake. Haven't we heard this one already? While others are just starting their season of today, we are already 4 weeks into ours. 4 weeks, and I've had enough. I guess you could say it's my own fault for promoting this idea of 7 weeks of Advent. But on the other hand, the scripture selections that we've been hearing wouldn't have changed anyways. They're all the same. 4 weeks, weeks and weeks, and I've had enough. I don't want to hear any more about suffering, calamities, disaster, ruin, the end of the world. I get enough of that when I listen to the news. I get enough of that when I just go all masked up and distanced to the grocery store, for that matter. Jesus talked about suffering in those days. In those days, and I think those days are just what we're experiencing right now, in our confinement to our homes. He mentioned the sun being darkened. And isn't that what it's like when you can't see your family for fear of spreading the virus? It's as if the sun goes dark a little bit. Jesus said, the moon would not give light and the stars would be falling from heaven. Sounds a lot to me like the experience of depression. Maybe because you can't work right now. Do the things that you love. Feel the closeness of family. You're in a dark night. No light anywhere. Jesus said the powers in the heavens would be shaken. And isn't that how it is when your world has been turned upside down?
sick of it. I don't want to be in this Advent anymore. I don't want to be in this pandemic anymore. I just want things to get back to normal. I want to be able to leave my house without remembering to bring my mask. Some of you listening or watching probably be grateful to leave your house at all. I want to have a simple conversation with someone without carefully gauging the distance between us, and then feel like I have to shout all muffled through the thickness of a mask. I want to have people over to my home to see friends and family in person again. To stop using Zoom forever. I want to be with my church community, live, with these pews full of your faces. I want to give each of you a big hug. I want things to be back to normal. But here I have to do a double take. Because what is normal exactly? On a personal level, of course, it's all those experiences of connection that I've just named that I long to have again. But on a social level and even a personal level, normal is a lot of other things that I might want to think twice about wanting back. Normal is a world that values productivity, efficiency, and endless busyness, seemingly above all else. Certainly over fruitfulness, conviviality, or leisure. Normal is goals and targets and missions, and above all, results, always over relationship, care for one another, care for the earth. Normal can be the desire for endless stuff at a deep, deep cost to our beautiful earth. Even on a personal level, normal is sometimes a deadness of heart as we settle for relationships gone cold rather than risk confrontation, upheaval, and even the possibility of renewal. No, normal, something tamped down. Normal is sometimes giving up on things that stoke our passion in life in favor of security and predictability. Normal, sometimes fear, anxiety, sadness, buried anger, the like. When I think about these other darker things that are normal in many of our lives, I realize that my longing for a return to normal might not be might be falling short of what God in Christ is longing for in my life, in all our lives. The cry of the psalmist, the cry of the prophet, is not a cry for a return to normalcy. The opening words of Isaiah, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, O God, so that the mountains would quake at your presence." Prayer of the day in Advent always starts with, "Stir up your power, O Lord, and come." These are not cries for a return to normalcy. Shepherd of Israel, leading Joseph like a flock, shine forth, you that are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine on us, and then we shall be saved. That's our call for restoration, but a call that goes so far beyond longing for normal. Let your face shine on us, and we will be saved. God is longing for something far more than getting back to the way things once were. What Jesus longs for is renewal, rebirth, and restoration to God's original vision for this earth and humanity in it. Jesus longs for abundant life for each and every one of his brothers and sisters, and indeed for all humanity and the earth itself. Jesus longs for reconciliation of all things. God's plan is for love and compassion, peace and joy to be overflowing in our personal lives and in the life of society. God wants to bring forth spark and vitality for our vocation into our hearts. God's vision is for justice and shalom for all. This is not about getting things back to some kind of normal. It's about nothing less than resurrection. In that light, a disruption, such as just after Jesus' time, the destruction of Jerusalem and the leveling of the temple, a disruption like that, or in our time, a global pandemic, is an opportunity for renewal. It's an opportunity for something new to come forth, fresh, beautiful again. Jesus even had the audacity to compare the terrible events he was speaking of to a fig tree beginning to spring to life. Just think about that. He'd been talking about the destruction of the temple, the suffering of multitudes of people, the powers in the heavens shaken, the sun darkened, and he said, that's like a fig tree coming to life in the spring. That's audacious. That's a little bit of chutzpah on Jesus' part, a little bit of verve, to compare such terrible events to a fig tree coming to life. He said, that's when you know that summer is around the corner. It's significant that he spoke these words on the eve of his own arrest and execution. According to the world's normal way of thinking, he was nothing less and nothing more than a troublemaker who challenged the status quo of the ruling elites, and he was duly sent to die. The cross was the ultimate disruption, a disruption of life itself. But God made that desolate thing a sign of renewal. The tree of death became a tree of life. Today we talk about a shoot that has come forth from the stump of Jesse. The stump of Jesse, of course, is the cut-off lineage of King David, and the destruction of the kingdom of Israel itself. Leveling, a stump, dead stump. But as the prophets have it, a shoot comes forth, and the stump becomes a sign of life. God works life, even in the middle of upheavals, disruptions, like global pandemics. these texts, these stories, these promises of Advent today to us who are hunkered down, locked in our homes, sheltering from each other and the danger that we pose to each other. We're going to take hope and comfort that God can bring something new, beautiful and wonderful out of all of this. We do these things for each other. We accept the limitations on our lives and our rights as citizens, each other safe and healthy so that we can build this tower again in new and beautiful ways. We have been given the strength and the gifts to be able to do this. As Paul said to the Corinthians, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given to you in Jesus Christ. For in every way